If you would, to Psalm 103. They're threatening spitwads since they're right here, sitting right here in front of me.
Spitballs.
Okay. Well, I've had worse happen. That's okay. Psalms chapter 103, beginning in verse 1. This is a psalm attributed to King David. We sang about this last week, as a matter of fact. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being praise his holy name. Praise the Lord. Is that good for anybody besides me? Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. Anybody been in the pit besides me? And crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Somebody please say amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, it is our prayer this morning. Three words. Come, Holy Spirit. Say it with me, church. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you. Come and speak in power. That's the only way you know how to speak. Speak in authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Continuing the sermon series, Hallelujah Living. Anybody living hallelujah-like these last few weeks? I hope so. Hallelujah living, which we've talked about that word hallelujah means praising the Lord. So living this life that exudes praise. If you don't have how many of you and you know you can't lie in church. How many of you are following the 40 days of praise booklet? Doing pretty good at that. Everybody got a few of these. One of these. We still got some booklets out at both of our welcome tables. If you're not in that, I think some of you are, and it's not too late to jump in on that. 40 days of praise booklets out in the foyer. First week, we talked about how we, as God's people, how we are created. We are created beings for the purpose of bringing praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ. That's just how God created us, to bring him glory. Second week, we talked about how praise is a choice. When circumstances come flooding in that the world, absolutely would not be praising, there's something about us as God's people that we can choose to praise him in the midst of any circumstances. And I've seen it lived out in many of your lives. In third week, we talked about how praise is powerful. There's something that can be broken in the spiritual realm through praise. So our can change. Sometimes it changes our circumstances, and sometimes it just changes our heart. And in the midst of the circumstances, we see things differently. Today, what does praise look like? We're beginning to narrow it down. Okay, we talked about this idea of praising, but today we want us to look a little bit at what does that look like. Now, y'all know I'm a sports fan. I like sports and. Back when our girls were little, they were high school. That was smaller than they are now. Anyway, in high school, we had the McGoys. Where's the McGoys? Jody and Tamara McGoy. Timbery's here today. Timbery doesn't live in town, but we're blessed to have her with us this morning. Well, our daughters and Timbery were friends, and they were all in the band together, and they had a really good band, and they went all over and won fifth in state one year. It was really an awesome time. We used to travel to the ball games and so forth, and so we'd be sitting in the stands many times with Jody and Tamara, and I'm kind of, when I watch sports, I know this would kind of, you know, you wouldn't see this in me, but I'm not real vocal. I'm absorbing. I'm watching and I'm absorbing. I will speak and I will, you know, yell for my team and so forth. Every once in a while when I'm watching the Cowboys, Cheryl will be watching Hallmark Channel or something goofy like that, you know. And anybody else's wife watch Hallmark Channel? And I'll be in my office and watching the Cowboys and she, you know, it's kind of quiet. And then every once in a while you hear, "Yes!" And that's kind of me. I build it all up, and then the big moments, you know, I might let out a little release there. But Jody McGoy. Jody's a very expressive man. And I remember, you know, one time we were at the ball game, and, you know, I'm kind of absorbing. I'm in that mode, you know. And I bet Jody in his younger day, he was probably one of those guys that took his shirt off and painted a big, you know, W on his chest or something. I can see that, man. I can see it. It's in my mind. And I'm not going to sleep tonight over that. But anyway, so we're sitting there and I'm kind of absorbing, and I reach down to get a sip of my water, and Jody just, he just blurts. I'm not even going to do it because it would scare you to death if I tried to duplicate this sound. He just screams. I mean, he just screams for his team and all. And just, I almost spilt the water all over myself. It was just crazy. But Jody has this way of watching the ball games. Well, I've got a new son-in-law. My newest son-in-law is Ryan. Raise your hand over there. Don't be shy. I got permission from both of these guys to pick on him this morning, by the way. So everybody's like ducking down in their seat, going, "Am I next?" So Ryan is a Dallas Stars fan. Many of us don't even know who the Dallas Stars are because we're not, it's ice hockey. We got some ice hockey fans. I wouldn't even know when to yell at an ice hockey game. But when Ryan likes to watch the Dallas Stars, he's been a big fan all his life, and he goes, kind of like me with the Cowboys, he goes back in his little cubbyhole to watch the Stars. And I hear that Ryan has a dance when they do. Now, I'm not going to make him do it. But I hear that Ryan has a dance when the Stars score a goal. Is that right, Ryan? You don't want to do it, right? Do what?
I don't think it's appropriate.
Are your clothes on when you do this dance? Okay, that's all I want to know. My point is this. You know, with praise, we somehow, I think, have in our mind that praise looks a certain way. And just like, you know, you go to a ball game and you watch, just kind of observe the fans, and you've got some like me, you know, they're sitting there and they're into it. I mean, they're really into it. But they're just kind of watching and absorbing and letting the game just kind of come to them, you know. And you got others that got the, you know, the big tanks with the shakers in the W paint. No offense, Jody. The W painted on their chest, and they're like, "Ah!" You know, doing this. And you got some that are just sitting. And then you got, you know, like Cheryl. She doesn't. We leave the game. She goes like, "Who won?" She knows all about how to cook spaghetti, you know, without meat sauce, but she doesn't know anything about who won the game, or, you know, because she'd be sitting. Never mind. No, I didn't have permission for that one. But she said vows to me. She's got to stay around. What does praise look like? And I want to submit to you that praise isn't always on the outside. We make two mistakes, I believe. I believe some people think that as long as I'm doing something out here, I'm praising God. Did you know you can be doing a whole lot of stuff out here and nothing happening in here? But I think the other thing is that we can also, on the flip side of that, we can somehow give our permission and go, well, you know, that's just not my thing to be expressive. And so we can somehow use that as an excuse to just check out. But I want to tell you, praise isn't always obvious on the outside. And I've learned that a long time ago, that there's some of the most godly people that I know are not real expressive outwardly. Praise emanates from the inside of us, from a changed heart. Praise exudes from a changed heart. Listen to this, to the psalmist. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Do you hear something inside of David as he's saying this psalm? Praise the Lord, O my soul. Something inside of him is praising God. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Something had impacted David's life, and his name was God, Jehovah God. And so David is speaking. Now I want to point out that David, there's also a passage, trying to remember where this is. Well, I actually looked at it this week. But anyway, there's a passage where David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city, into the city of Jerusalem, and he strips down to his robe. I mean, like this kind of undergarment robe, and he's dancing in front of the Ark, giving praise to God. And the daughter of Saul, who the king, who David has taken his place, probably a little jealousy there in her. And the daughter of Saul says to David later, it's like, boy, that was, how dare you? How dare you be so undignified in the presence of God and showing yourself to the people in such an undignified manner? And you know what David said? You think that's undignified? You ain't seen nothing yet. So David was not afraid to express his love for God. So we're not talking about, I mean, I think David, the moment dictated how David praised God. In this psalm, he's writing, he's pouring out his heart. He said, praise the Lord, O my soul. Something inside of David is crying out. A few years ago, and y'all probably, some of y'all have heard this story, but it really touched me deeply, and it communicates what I'm trying to say. We were at a Promise Keepers event in Dallas, at the old Texas Stadium, and really actually got to hear Tom Landry that day. He wasn't on the docket, but he was a surprise guest and got to hear him speak, and that really was a blessing. But I was up in the stands, and there was 40,000 or so men in this stadium, and I mean, you can rock a stadium out when you're praising God with 40,000 people. And it was just a really incredible time. And I looked down on the floor, and they had chairs set up on the floor, and some VIP people were on the floors. And then they had this. I looked down at the back of the floor section, and there was this hearing impaired section. And they had this person that was signing to the as the speakers spoke, as the songs were sang, they were signing to this section. I thought, man, that's cool. That's really cool. And we went on the event, and the worship and the praise began to get more intense over the weekend. And a little bit later, I looked down there, and not only was this person signing to these people in the hearing impaired section, but the hearing impaired people were signing their praises to God. And I thought, man, my God is a God of all languages, all people. My God knows sign language. And then the worship began to get a little more intense, and the praise was just really heavy. I mean, it was just, if there hadn't been a hole in the roof, it would have been just, the roof would have just been hovering. The praise was thick. And I looked down, and I'm going to, would you move your Bible just a second? I'm going to illustrate this. I looked down, and these hearing impaired people were doing this. And they couldn't get close enough to God, and they began to sign standing in their chair with their hands above their head. It brings tears to my eyes right now to think about it again. They They weren't showing off for anybody. They just, there was something stirring inside of them, something deep. God had impacted their lives. And they just wanted to praise Him. And they were just praising Him with all they had, with all they couldn't shout it out like you and I, but they were praising Him to the best of their ability with all their heart. Praise the Lord, O my soul. What does praise look like? It looks like that. Now, that doesn't mean we have to stand in our chair, and it doesn't mean we have to know sign language, but praise pours out of a changed heart. That's what praise looks like. Now, I want to kind of shift gears a little bit and talk about why we praise, and we're going to stick with our psalm here, David's psalm. Why do we praise? And he speaks to some of it in this psalm. We praise God, number one, because He's a forgiver. He forgives. I just tell you, when God became real to me, and you've heard me say this probably many times, but you know, did you know that going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage or a car parking garage? You standing in the garage with a parked car makes you a car. It just, you can sit in a pew every day or in a blue seat right off the concrete every week. That doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't give you anything to praise God about. And I spent 30 years of that, you know, going to church, and my mom and dad set good examples for me, and they took me to church, and I learned about Jesus, and I learned about God's love and all that stuff. But until He penetrates our heart, we have nothing to give. We have nothing to offer. Until we understand that He forgives all our sins and heals all your diseases, this is a good and merciful God. We have nothing to praise about. And God is a forgiver. He's the great forgiver. I won't even mention His name, but this morning we were talking about the pattern of the new carpet and how it's crisscrossed and it's got a little pattern to the colors and all. And I said, yeah, it's going to be good. I think it's going to be kind of forgiving. And this person said, well, that's what we're here in the business to do, is forgive. They were making a joke, but it fits. It's true. A man named John Newton in 1779 wrote the great hymn, Amazing Grace. And we all know the song, the first verse. We sing it many times. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you understand that word wretch? That John Newton knew he was a wretch. Apostle Paul talks about it in Romans, the book of Romans, that, you know, Paul says, what a wretched man I am. You know, I try to do what's good, and I find myself doing the very things I don't want to do. And he found himself in this dilemma. And he comes to this place of, what a wretched man I am. Who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. John Newton understood that. In fact, the rest of that story is John Newton was a slave ship captain. Now think about that for just a second. One of the most horrible things I think that a person could do for a living. He shuttled slaves in the belly of ships, chained up like animals. And I've read a lot about the slave ship business and back in those days, and it's kind of nasty, but I think we need to go there. They weren't allowed to use the restroom. And they traveled over rough seas, and they would get sick, and we had some of this going on. There wasn't anybody coming around behind them cleaning up. So then the belly of this well, and that was his business. That was his trade. That's how he made a living. Until he was in a storm. You know, isn't that amazing how you find Jesus sometimes in the storm? He's in a storm and he thought he was going down, and he had been raised in the church and he knew better. And he confessed to Christ and he asked Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he got out of the the slave ship captain Business, and he wrote this song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. He understood God forgives. Praise the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your sins. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Kind of brings new meaning to those words, doesn't it? To know the heart from which they came. Second thing, we praise God because He redeems. He is our Redeemer. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. I'm just telling you, if you don't know that God, if you don't know Jesus in that way, if all you know is teachings of the church, of how to be good and how to be a moral person and so on and so forth, it's going to be a rough old time for you. I'm just telling you. Life is going to be rough for you. But if you understand the God that is a Redeemer, to redeem is to take something that's dead, that's lifeless, that's useless, has no purpose, and to bring life into it. To breathe life into it. As good Methodists, we know about John Wesley, but we don't know that much about Charles Wesley, his brother. They were kind of partners in the ministry. And both of them, John and Charles, were very dedicated to the disciplines of the church. From their mother taught them those things, spend hours and hours in scripture every day and in prayer every day and fasting and all those disciplines of the church. And they tried to serve. They were both pastors. And they tried to serve God out of works. And they went to America. You probably know the story. They went to America and they were trying to do that. And John wrote in his journal, he's like, I've came here to save these Native Americans, but who will save me? That's what John said. He didn't get it. He knew he didn't get it. And yet he's preaching the gospel every day, reading the Bible every day, and he didn't get it. I've come to save them, but who will save me? So they go back to England in failure and shame, and they still pressing into God even though they really didn't know Him. And on May the 21st, 1738, about 40 some odd years or so before Newton wrote Amazing Grace is when this is happening, Charles Wesley is at a Bible meeting, and he comes to faith in Christ. And he understands for the very first time that he's saved by grace. He gets it. It's not by works, but it's by grace. And he pens this great song in commemoration of that moment, his salvation. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me, who caused Him pain? For me, who Him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, should die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, should die for me? He understood, finally, that he was a redeemed person through Christ. It was no longer this idea of earning your way into heaven, but it was through the mercy and the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. 1 year later, on the anniversary, well, let me back up. 3 days later, after Charles came to Christ, guess who else came to Christ? John. You've heard of the Aldersgate experience. John is at this Bible study. And here's, I love out of John's journal, here's what he said. He said, reluctantly, I went to this prayer study, this Bible study. I'll get ahead of myself, but not when I'm preaching, but when I have a choice to go somewhere. We went to a men's retreat this weekend in Plano, and I got to tell you, I just didn't feel like I had time and blah 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 blah, all the excuses, but God showed up and He richly blessed me. John said in his journal, reluctantly I went to this Bible study. Guess what he found at the Bible study? Christ. The grace through faith of Jesus Christ. 1 year later, from Charles's knowledge of Christ, he writes this song. It's number one in our hymnal, the number one page of our hymnal. Anybody want to tell me what it is? Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. It's the name of the song. Listen. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from that. You know, when he wrote it, I think he wrote like 17 or 18 verses, and I think we have maybe five in the bulletin, in the hymnal. The first one says this: Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. What he's saying is, if I had a thousand tongues, they would all be singing praises to Jesus. And he's writing this on the anniversary, on the remembrance of what Christ has done for him. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. And then verse 3 in our hymnal says, He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. Got anybody who's foul in here? His blood availed for me. These guys had been serving Christ. They were ordained pastors and didn't understand grace. Suddenly he's redeemed. And by the way, the rest of that story is when those guys came to Jesus and they really understood it, their ministry exploded. What was being done through works of the flesh, their earthly effort to try to make people good, suddenly became spirit-empowered through redeemed people, and suddenly ministry exploded. The third thing, we praise God because He satisfies. He satisfies. Who satisfies your desires with good things. Did you know that God wants good things for you? Sometimes He allows struggles in our lives because it draws us to Him. It matures us in Him. But He desires good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. In Jeremiah 29:11, we've got it right over here. I think it's a little different version that I'll read. But for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's the heart of God for you. He satisfies. There's nothing in this world that satisfies the way Jesus does. I don't care how much money you got. And I know you're thinking this, but I don't care how good looking I am. What? Hey, I've got a lot of humor out of that. I don't care how many friends you have. I don't care how successful you are. Nothing satisfies like Jesus. No. I mean, He brings peace when all there is chaos. When we started, I guess it's been about three or four weeks ago, when we first started the 40 days of praise, I guess about 3 weeks ago, we started that 40 days of praise. Several of us, and I hope that you will come and start joining us, but several of us, there's about six or eight of us that are pretty regularly that come, and we just spend some prayer time on Sunday evenings at six. And once again, I'm just confessing to you, as John said in his journal, reluctantly I went. And I got to tell you, when I say amen, and you guys are out the door today, I try to find somewhere to collapse. Because, I mean, if you talk to any pastor, they'll tell you, you're just drained. You're just drained on a Sunday. And so I have to muster it back up to come up here. And I'm just confessing to you. But I'm never disappointed. About 3 weeks ago when we started this 40 days of praise, Billy leads that time on Sunday night, and he said, you know, we've started this 40 days of praise, and he said, I think our time tonight, normally we lift up things that are going on in our church and each of you, But he said, I think we're just supposed to praise God. We're just supposed to say things that come to our hearts that we praise him for. And it's a little different than thanking him, you know, like thank you for my food and my health and my nice family and my home and all those kinds of things. Oh, that's thanking him, but just praising him because he's God and because he's good and because he loves us. And so we just began to praise him, and I tend to probably be one of the quieter ones in that time, and I do that for a couple of reasons, because I'm talking right now, and I'm on talking every Sunday, and so I really try to take a little bit of a back seat at that time. And so I really wasn't doing that much talking, that much praying. I remember I was sitting right in that area, and we go for about, I don't know, 45 minutes or so, and we're just, as different people have things to praise God about, they're just saying these little prayers, short little prayers. And I found myself with tears just streaming down my face. Was just focused for how many times do we focus for 45 minutes on the goodness of God? Have we ever done it? I don't do it that often. But we're just focusing on the goodness of God, that he satisfies my desires with good things. And people are saying these little prayers of praise, and I said a couple of things, but that wasn't that. It's it was just washing over me what a wretch I am and what a merciful God I have. And tears were just streaming down my face, and it startled me. I wasn't expecting that. Reluctantly I came, and you begin to praise God, and God shows up. And he touches us. Wasn't sure if I was going to do this, but I think I'm going to go ahead. I'm not Chris Tomlin or anything like that. So, but I'm going to sing a song. When my brother was killed, it's been 14 years ago. And it was really, obviously, kind of rocked our world, our family. There's just a lot going on those first few days, and details of the service and all of those things. And after a couple of days, and after we had the service, I found myself. I had my brother's guitar, and I was just, and I pulled out my brother's guitar, and I just sat in the living room floor, and I just began to kind of pick around on it. It was just really giving me a lot of peace, knowing where Jay was, and knowing that in the midst of trials and tragedy in our lives, that God is still God and he loves us. And I just began to pick out this little song, and it's powerful. The song is powerful because it's God's word. It comes from Psalm 121. And so I just began to pick out this song. If you'll bear with the singing and just try to hear the heart of God in this, and how praise comes from the inside out. Oh, how I need you, Lord.
rescue me, to come and bring me life. I lift my eyes up, up to the mountains. Where does my help come from?
Praise isn't always on the outside. Praise exudes, comes from a grateful heart. And I want to tell you, I have so many things to be grateful for. You have so many things to be grateful for. Jesus took nails for us. He didn't have to. He planned it. They were our nails. It was our cross. And yet He took the punishment that we deserved. Our praise is a response to the goodness of God found through the person of Jesus Christ. Do you know that this morning? They talked about it at our men's retreat this weekend that one of the speakers said, you know, just because we're all here in church and we're all men who've come to a Christian men's conference, there's people in the church that don't know Jesus. And He offered Christ to us men. If you don't know Him, He wants life. Jesus said, I've come to give you abundant life. That's what He wants from us. That's His desire for us. And we praise Him for that. If you don't know Him in that way, as the praise team comes up, come on up, guys. As the praise team comes up, don't shut down with these guys coming up. Don't shut down. If God's stirring your heart this morning, I just want to feel led to open up the altar this morning as we sing, and Billy will, if he has to sing this over and over, we'll sing until people are through. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. If you had 1,000 tongues, what would they be doing? Would they be singing His praise? Charles Wesley got that. You know, he didn't write that song until he had Jesus in his heart. That's when it poured out of him that this God is worthy of praise. So I just want to invite you to stand. If you want us to remain seated, whatever you want to do, just as we close and the altar rail is open, please come. If God's stirring your heart, please come. If you want me to pray with you, I'll do that.
Ooh, for 1,000 times to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of
God good?
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Come here, Gladys. This is, don't hold us against her. This is Billy's mom, Gladys, and she's precious. And she comes this morning to rededicate her life to Jesus.
Amen.
And I tell you, I told her in the prayer that she's an example to me. How she treats other people and how she treats her family and how she treats her husband. And she's a precious person. How she treats me. And she comes this morning to rededicate her life, and we rejoice in that with you.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Go and tell somebody. We are dismissed. God bless you.
He speaks.
He speaks, amen.